You're listening to DraftKings Network.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey, please drink responsibly.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
We are in a depleted state like many teams at this point in the season. We've got Roy saying he's missed the entire day of football. We've got Mike Ryan saying that he hasn't been able to pay attention to football because he spent the whole day just refreshing Bruce Feldman's Twitter account. We've got no Stugatz here for reasons that no one can totally discern. He just made up a flight in the middle of the day. We've got Jessica a little bit winded and breathless because what were you doing just seconds ago? Because those late games ended with a lot of fun. So what were you just doing seconds ago?
She appears frozen.
Freezing her.
Perfect.
Must be terrified.
I don't think she's actually moved since the fourth quarter.
I didn't even mention
she's
that
been
Billy,
in exactly this position.
Billy is outside. Billy, why are you outside?
I didn't know I was doing this. I was supposed to be on vacation, but I'm here for you guys.
Yay.
Did you watch football today?
It was on in the background. I'm vaguely aware of things, and I have ESPN open on my phone so I can fake it.
Very good. The Ozark said that looks pitch black behind you. Are you?
But I'm well lit, right?
You are. Yes, well, you are. You're always lit, Billy, but it does look like you are like in the Ozark somewhere.
I put the screen as bright as possible to use that lighting, and then I have various windows that are just white open so that it's very bright.
Ah, Teddy Platt.
Thank you very much. I appreciate
it. I also think I'm sick, if you were wondering about that. And every time now that I think I'm sick, I immediately go to get COVID tests. Don't get me started on that. Why is Walgreens having me make a 9:45 a.m. appointment if the pharmacy doesn't open until 10 in the morning? We don't need to get into that. We
can
get
it's it kind of football you observations you're going to be getting with this crew here, Dan.
And then when you go at 10, they say you're not in the system, even though I have a confirmation number. We'll get into that later.
Okay. Can't wait for that one.
It was negative.
Well, congratulations. Good.
Thank you.
Is Dan frozen now?
No, I just figured he was going to keep going. I just thought Billy was going to keep us going, drowning more and more. Whittingham, give me that lion stat that you've got. You say you've got a shocking lion stat.
Stunning. A stunning lion stat for you. Now, Roy told me one before the show, which might rival it. And I'll let him tell it since he didn't watch much football today. The stat that I have, courtesy of PFF Bet, PFF underscore bet on Twitter, the Lions, who won for the first time this season, this afternoon, on a last-second throw to Amon-Ra St. Brown. The Detroit Lions this season are 8-4 against the spread.
Good teams cover.
No, great teams cover. Good teams win. So it kind of undoes the whole cliche when you don't do a lot of winning. But I guess in the last 4 weeks, they have failed to lose like half their game. So real improvement from Dan Campbell. What was that defense that Mike Zimmer called? I saw that in Tallahassee earlier this season. What was that?
The defense is that, you know, Jared Goff's not going to do this. The Lions are losers. That's the defense. Like that, it's just sort of keep backing up that the Goff's not going to be able to do this without a mistake. He's going to throw it out of bounds just out of habit. He's going to throw it away.
But why set the defense up to the point that, look, we know one thing about Jared Goff is he can throw a 6-yard slant. Like, he's entirely capable of doing that. Why have everybody behind that?
And they also did it on the plays before that, where it was like, it was on the 19-yard line. There were still 12 seconds left. And they put everyone in the end zone that allowed them to throw like an 8-yard completion so that they had the opportunity to make that throw. No idea what the Vikings were doing.
And probably Sugatz is going to continue with his Vikings are the best 5-7 team I've seen all season. We've been singing Kirk Cousins' situational awareness and effectiveness. We've been singing those praises throughout this entire season doing these post games, but his entire time in Minnesota, he's actually been kind of bad. But yet again, another example of him doing everything necessary to win a game at the end. Is he just like a totally different quarterback now? This is the best version of Kirk Cousins I've ever seen. No,
when you're two scores down to the Lions, you can't say this is the best version of Kirk Cousins that we've seen.
Fair enough. In fact, I can't be
two scores down.
That's the best rebuttal.
I have all sorts of trouble with this one all the time. For example, I believe that AJ Green kept Andy Dalton a starter for 10 years in the league. Kirk Cousins is a fine quarterback, and their skill position players are awesome. Awesome, and they'd be awesome without Kirk Cousins. They'd be awesome for a whole lot of quarterbacks in the league. But Jessica, before you froze here, why were you dancing around your place?
Dan. The Ravens, they think they got something. They're still not good enough to beat the Steelers.
Against retiring Ben Roethlisberger.
They think they have one great catch. Their tight end makes a great catch last weekend in primetime. They think, oh, we're the Ravens. We're going to steamroll the Steelers and their 55-year-old quarterback. Well, guess what, Dan? The Steelers' defense, they sacked Lamar Jackson multiple times. TJ Watt had 3 sacks, a strip sack almost to end the game. Even when the Steelers play crappy prevent defense, the Ravens still can't tie it up at the end. And then they went for 2 because, oh, John Harbaugh, he's so ballsy. Guess what? They lost.
Okay, let's discuss what happened at the end of this game here, because the Steelers, that was totally obnoxious. Your team is needed that victory just to not have its season end on the spot. Mark Andrews had the ball on his hands at the end. But what did you think of the call? I love the idea of Harbaugh being down 20-19. First of all, the way the games ended was tremendous. The 49ers, the late games, the 49ers on the goal line, throwing into the end zone, 4th and short, Pete Carroll doing all the rah-rah. I got to imagine that Adrian Peterson is saying to himself on 2nd and 3rd and goal for a 3-8 team, what am I doing here? It's cold. I'm at the goal line. Like, why am I doing any of this? And Kevin Harlan is screaming pukey things. And then in the other game, Baltimore is going for it. And I think, I don't know what the math said on this. You guys tell me what you think. But I think that if you tell me I have a situation at the goal line and I need 3 yards, I'll take being down 1 and I will take Lamar Jackson and I can get 3 yards with some sort of play. I'd rather be the Ravens with the ball than the Steelers trying to defend it.
No, that's not the Pittsburgh Steelers, Dan. The Pittsburgh Steelers are all about defense. Mm-hmm. Mike Ryan, you wouldn't understand. You're a Cleveland Browns fan. I'm a Steelers fan. This is what we do. We beat our divisional rivals.
This is the first time you've been a proud. This is the first time all season you've been a proud Steelers fan. This is the first time you've let
that voice more than I can describe.
I like the character. I like it. And it was actually
what character are you talking about? I'm just a Steelers fan. Oh,
this is like Paris Hilton Steelers fan.
You should have that. You should do that that character, but then just have the weird Pittsburgh accent occasionally. Like, just do that.
You
voice
just don't understand what it's like to be a Steelers fan. When the defense is on the field, all of the trust in the world is on Yins. You would not understand.
Sound like Noah Streep.
What are you drinking? But are you drinking like a Zinfandel? Like, what are you doing?
Rosé.
So it's awfully obnoxious.
Just vodka, Dan. It's just vodka.
It's vodka neat.
What it is unnecessarily obnoxious for 6-5-1.
Please, Dan, this is the AFC. One team that's doing better than the Steelers right now in the AFC. 6-5-1 is basically the same as 14-0.
I will push back on that notion.
You can't push back on it, because you go ahead and tell me what the hell the difference is between the Bengals and the Chargers. I think the difference between the Bengals and the Chargers is Ja'Marr Chase with a touchdown pass in his hand as a bomb 50-yard catch that he just throws over his shoulder for an interception. I think that's the difference between the Bengals and the Chargers.
I love watching the AFC this year, and I think even as you were taunting my Browns, and it was cool to see an emotional Ben Roethlisberger. I haven't seen him cry on the sideline since he was eliminated by the Cleveland Browns in blowout fashion.
Please, Ben Roethlisberger cries on the sideline every weekend in 2021. You just haven't been paying attention.
But it was a cool moment. The AFC is a jumbled mess right now, and I kind of love it. And every time I think it's because they're bad, number one, then I just glance at the NFC playoff standings and I realize, oh, no, that's bad. And every time, like, the AFC West plays the Dallas Cowboys, they smash them. The Cowboys haven't been fully healthy in those, but I actually think the AFC is kind of sneaky good, and they're just all murdering each other at this moment.
Yeah, I mean, the playoff line is 7-5, so that's a good standard. And the Chargers, I mean, I think every week we talk about the WTF teams. The Chargers were like multiple personalities today. They were three different teams in one. They were the team that went up 24-0. They were the team that blew that lead. And then they were the team that won by three scores in the end. That team is completely all over the place. Justin Herbert is completely all over the place.
The Charmed Life of Justin Herbert. Write the book. I'm telling you, it's a weird case study.
Right now, the guy who continues to skate, as Chris Cody said, we have no idea if Trevor Lawrence can play. Yeah.
I have something to say about Justin Herbert. I think Justin Herbert's time as the NFL sweetheart is come to an end, because next year we'll have Kenny Pickett.
Oh,
and he's got locks too. No, you're not frozen. We're doing our, yeah, you're frozen. All right, so we move on to the late window, Dan, in which I watch because I was too busy FaceTiming with folks in Eugene, Oregon, trying to see if there was a team meeting.
Give us an update. What's going on with the University of Miami?
So actually, my earlier report this morning that didn't necessarily catch as much traction as Mario Cristobal will be the next head coach at the University of Miami was, decisions will be made today. I'm not saying announcements will be made today. I maintain that. This has kind of gotten a little screwy. And as a Cuban American, I could say, you know, sometimes shit happens when you involve like a Julio, multiple Ruizes, a Manny, a Mario, a Jose, and all sorts of just Cuban.
Fernandez, a Manny, a Mario. Armando is reporting on it.
This is uniquely Miami. I think the drawbacks of Miami's approach on keeping Manny Diaz in Miami reared their ugly head today, but it is everybody's full expectation. Mario Cristobal, I don't know if you've seen the report. I would like to give that reporter credit. I will bring it back to them. Has canceled his recruiting trips for tomorrow. He will be addressing the team. That report is from Aaron Fentress, and I maintain, once again, Mario Cristobal will be the head coach at the University of Miami. Mario Cristobal just wanted to do this on his own timeline. He is a proven commodity. He has won at Oregon, but in terms of leaving a place where he is really wanted and admired, this is a rookie situation for Mario Cristobal. This is the first time he's kind of dealt with that. I think that's showing a little bit. He wants to desperately control the narrative and shape the message and speak to his team. I understand that part. There's a little Nick Saban influence on Mario Cristobal that's trying to take control of the entire situation. It should have been handled differently. At the same time, you're seeing a lot of understandable support for Manny Diaz, as it's an impossible situation. I will say, don't forget the temple thing. It's kind of poetic that Manny's time is appearing to come to an end, kind of the same way that it started. And that's not a justification, by the way. I've gone on the record to say that I think Manny Diaz has been really classy in an impossible situation. But the report stands, confirming my earlier report. The decision was made earlier today. Mario Cristobal to the University of Miami is their next head football coach.
But there are plenty of people listening to this that don't know what you're talking about with the Temple situation, because they don't care about the Miami Hurricanes quarterback.
Temple. Yeah, nor Temple. But yeah, and unfortunately, there's a lot of similarities to the last search, which was not a national search, just focus on one candidate. The timeline was certainly a lot more drawn out with regards to Mario Cristobal. But Manny Diaz had agreed to become the Temple head coach, did the introductory press conference, and then very shortly thereafter, Mark Richt retired, and Blake James, just without a national search, hired Manny Diaz, who was beginning to start building his program at Temple, to be the head coach at the University of Miami. In year three, Manny Diaz has 7 wins. I know teams played hard for him, and when commentators weigh in on how hard they played for him, they kind of omit the disastrous loss to FSU. I'm not sure what's going on there, but Manny Diaz's time at the University of Miami is obviously coming to an end. Mario Cristobal will be the next head coach of the University of Miami, barring something totally unforeseen, and all the indicators that have happened since my report prove, including the big one, canceling the recruiting trips and meeting with the team, and Mario Cristobal will be the head coach at Miami.
Roy, why did you miss all the football today?
Well, Dan, I had to go out and rent a U-Haul so I can pick up a pellet smoker over at Angel Resto's house. So that involved me driving all the way up to Parkland, which is just about a 40-minute drive and back. And then I had a little situation with the U-Haul because I ordered a pickup truck and the truck wasn't there. So I had to get a van. All this took about 5 hours.
What a motley crew Dan has surrounded himself with.
I mean, like, the amount of incompetence. I need to stop here. I need to stop right now. We're 15 minutes in. Like, and I need to absorb. Like, it's not bad enough that I got a spotty internet connection. This is flabbergasting. 15 minutes into this, as I look around and I'm like, good God, the amount of incompetence on this particular call is breathtaking. Here comes the Steelers fan again.
Dan, please. I have no idea what you're talking about. The Steelers got the job done today. They beat the Ravens. I think I almost just froze again.
You mentioned that they beat the Ravens. Okay, so it's kind of a limited impression, but we'll build it out.
The character is so fucking limited. So limited. Like, all you do is you've got a hand move in here. And so...
and you're facial, limited.
It's a useless character. Well, Dan, I'm bloviating because my quarterback...
I'm working on the character, Dan. I've been very busy watching the Steelers game today. Thank you.
Meanwhile, the Cardinals are better than everybody. And,
yeah. And you can't say that after they beat the Bears.
I could say that because I could say that because they're 10-2.
But they beat the Bears, and then they turned the bean in Chicago into a dick, and then they tweeted it from their Twitter account. You can't do that. You can't do that and then be like, the Cardinals are the best. Like, no. The Cardinals need a heat check on that tweet.
So for those that don't know, as you occasionally see in sports, the social media team at one team had a little shot of banter at one region after they defeated their team, and they turned the famous Chicago bean into an L. But I'm with Jess. It certainly looks like a dick. It's irrefutable.
Hang on a second.
There are times where you guys live your life as if everyone is on Twitter all the time, and that everyone watching this would know that the Arizona Cardinals turned the Chicago bean into a penis and put it on social media, and just like, oh yeah, just get like the reaction that Billy had on this video was, I think, reflective of the general public, which is, what in the world is she talking about?
I'm looking it up. I was very confused.
Imagine also, how imagine how they felt when Roy said he was picking something up at Angel Resso's house.
Why is it crooked?
And then I had to get ice cream afterwards, so that even
barked. Oh, you had to get it. Somebody jumped out of some shrubbery and held you at gunpoint and took you to Jackson's. You had to go get some ice cream. You had to go not work and not watch football because you had to go get some ice cream.
That's right, Dan.
Rocky Road.
No, it's cherry vanilla.
Mine doesn't look like that.
That looks like a dick.
Yeah, that's very phallic. Yeah.
And there's a cardinal at the very tip of it, so the little red tip.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes, to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Hey, listeners, it's Mike Ryan, and I've changed a lot over the course of 20 years that you've known me. I've gone from unlikable to, well, my hair has changed. But my point is, while a lot's changed over our relationship, there's one thing that hasn't changed one bit, and that's a great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what's the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite has sparked this debate way back in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. They keep it simple. It's got undebatable quality, great taste, 96 calories, you know all those things. It's a beer that strips everything away that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. But with Miller Lite, you don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. It's both those things. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Were you guys happy for Man Campbell?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What, you're not feeling this narrative that the Lions fight hard and he cares so much? He took over play calling duties and he's aggressively trying to win games with Jared Goff. Like, yeah, look, I went winless one year and so did they. I don't wish that on anybody. I'd get that win. I was happy for him.
That's fair, but I feel like around like maybe week 10, I decided I was no longer feeling bad for him and I was like, nah, probably just not a good coach. Probably his fault.
So like, you're blaming his incompetence on them being 0-11-1. Was it the Thanksgiving game? Like, you know why? I think I've diagnosed it. It's because there's no way a team should be able to be unable to beat the Bears. And so you just kind of watched him and went, this team, if they're struggling with the Bears and Andy Dalton, I can't be having this.
Yeah, it was partly that. I mean, the tie to the Steelers wasn't great. They also, what game was it? The Browns game, Mike, that they came down to the wire with against the Browns. And like, there was so much end of game mismanagement week after week that eventually I was like, maybe he shouldn't win any games. Maybe he's not very good. Maybe he's the reason they're not winning these games.
They're just
they have
not
talent on their team.
You think they have talent? It jumps off the screen to you. They got to me. They got Goff and like a bunch of wide receivers that I'm constantly surprised are there. They have a good running back.
It's just Goff and Hockenson. Right? That's it. It's Hockenson running with his flowing mane on a white stallion through your secondary for four catches for 49 yards every Sunday. He's got old Hockenson is going to be there for you with his flowing mane.
And his Iowa-ness.
Iowa tight end, like just out of that tight end factory. They got a running back and they've got a tight end. And an O-line potentially solved there with Penei Sewell. But they obviously have a long way to go with talent. And Man Campbell deserves the opportunity.
What are you laughing about, Roy? What are you laughing about?
Billy let out a very satisfying... I had to have taken a sip of Coca-Cola. That was just fantastic.
Billy, please.
I forgot I wasn't muted. I thought I was muted because I was sneezing before. I did catch myself. I also did a clap after.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did.
Yeah. You guys ever do that after you take a sip of something that's delightful?
Billy.
It seems fake.
Billy, because of the constant crickets in my headphone, I've known that you haven't been muted. So trust me, like you're.
I think we can all hear. I think we can all hear the crickets. I think we. It's been what's been lovely about this, even though it's been an unmitigated disaster, all 21 minutes of it, is it has felt like we're sitting in your backyard with you on a crisp December day that it's dark and the crickets are all around because I can hear them. And I got to be honest with you, Billy, as furious as I am with you right now. Now, for giving me nothing today, I am delighted by just the holiday spirit of it feels crisp in your backyard right now.
Thank you. I had to run away before. I don't know if you noticed. I had to step away from the computer because what was that?
A little mezcal.
Ah, mezcal. Nice.
You guys drink fancy things. I don't know half these words. Oh, Steelers fans excited about that.
Oh, picky out. Oh,
we have forced Dan to drink on the job, but I kind of saw the mezcal at the very beginning.
Billy, were you going to finish your point or no? Just
nah, I was going out. Nowhere. Yeah, I had to go find an extension cord because it was at 3% and I had to go running. It was a whole ordeal. Don't worry.
Again, a fire pit.
We'll get into that after the Walgreens stuff.
Yeah. did you guys enjoy Sean McVay throwing Odell Beckham Jr. a goal line fade against the Jaguars up by like 30 points in the fourth quarter to get him going? I did.
Oh, no. Definitely didn't watch that game.
A one-yard pass. It continues to be miserable being Trevor Lawrence and Urban Meyer. If I told you they'd long for the Gardner Minshew days, if I told you that right now that if Gardner Minshew was Pittsburgh's quarterback, you'd make them a favorite in the AFC.
Potentially. I would. Yeah, I would with that defense. And we didn't talk enough about TJ Watt outside of just like his counting sets. But the AFC North has learned how to stop Lamar Jackson. And times like last weekend on Sunday Night Football, his greatness is going to overcome that. And it almost did again. Watch in slow motion that 2-point conversion and see how many things TJ Watt had to do in very short order to disrupt it just enough for that pass to go off the tips of Mark Andrews' fingers. I thought it was a beautiful football play. Andrew Luck, shout out Andrew Luck, salute to you. A beautiful football play in the waning moments that when you slow it down, just really encapsulates both the greatness of Lamar Jackson, how difficult it is to defend him, and the greatness of TJ Watt, who I think won the Defensive Player of the Year with that performance.
Wendy, you didn't like the call, right? You didn't like that Harbaugh decided to just say, okay, 3 yards, I've got Lamar Jackson, let me see if I can get it. And incidentally, before we get to whatever it is you've got to say about this, one of the things I did love is how radiant post-coital Bill Cowher was talking about that game, just how much he loved, like that he wants to inject in all of his retirement Ravens Steelers 20-19 right into his veins.
13-12 in the fourth quarter. That's what Ravens Steelers should be. If Stu Gutz were on this, he would say that was brilliant football.
High scoring game, honestly.
But you didn't like the call.
No, I mean, look, I agree with your decision kind of in the abstract, or your thought process in the abstract, which is have Lamar Jackson go get 3 yards. But like Mike said, it's also liable to TJ Watt stepping in and ruining it. And that's kind of an amazing football play because so much of playing defense is about just executing your assignment. And Watt very clearly identified, oh, they're going to run that fake thing and I can't fall for it. I got to jump onto Lamar. And that's what puts him off. But the reason why I don't think they should have gone for two there is because you have an automatic kicker. By the way, Justin Tucker, fourth quarter and overtime, has made his last 56 kicks. So you know he's making that extra point. And I just back the Ravens offense more than I'd back the Steelers offense to generate something in the overtime period. Like, I'd want to go against Ben Roethlisberger in overtime.
I'm not Whittingham, you were not watching the second half of that game because the Steelers defense were not letting the Ravens.
Wait, she's out of character. She broke character.
What's Meryl Streep?
I forgot what the character was.
Why don't you go to the hallway and get a hoogie?
I wouldn't trust the Ravens offense today against the Steelers defense. Are you kidding? The Steelers almost strip sacked Lamar Jackson to win the game in that drive. The only reason the Ravens made it down the field was because the Steelers are terrible at prevent defense. They're good when they're playing actual defense, but then they were like, let's play prevent defense. We'll prevent them from scoring a touchdown, but give them 30 yards at a time down the entire field till they get to the 5-yard line.
I love the point that Mike's making, though, that a football game, an NFL game where, you know, they're all fighting to get get into. In that game, the Ravens and Steelers were vigorously fighting to get into third and three. Like, let's get, like, we need to fight each other and stab each other with swords so we can get into third and three. And at the end of the game, it's just one play and it's for 3 yards. And it's not like the days of Dave Craig and Chris Chandler. It's TJ Watt against Lamar Jackson in the middle of the gladiator spectacle. And both of them are like just freakish athletes. Let's see if we can throw it to this Frankenstein Mark Andrews over here. But like they're trying to get 3 yards and it's three athletes that are just crazy talented. And the difference between the Steelers having their season ended at 5-6-1 and the Ravens looking like they're running away with the AFC is just bobbling it 3 yards at the goal line in Pittsburgh. It's crazy that that's where we are this far into the season.
And if you look at the Ravens' upcoming schedule, basically every team that's in the AFC North has a very difficult schedule. That's just how it shook out. But this is a team that's flirted along that line all season long. And more often than not, they've gotten away with it. But the way that that schedule is shaping up, you could see a precipitous fall and just like them reverting back to the mean. Because while it's a skill, when you have that kind of player, I mean, he showed it again against Pittsburgh that inexplicably, Lamar Jackson, who the entire time during his career, the knock is when he's a predictable passer, he's not going to win you a game. Yet he's winning games with fourth quarter drives when he's a predictable passer. It's got to catch up to them. You can't keep flying that close to the sun and not get burned. And he did in the AFC North.
You guys feel bad for Oklahoma State.
Wait, you guys, hold on a second, Billy. I'm sorry. You guys need to argue with each other. Browns fan, that Browns character and Steelers
argue
character.
With a Browns fan. I have better things to do, Dan Le Batard, please.
Is that playing later into January? Because you decided to skip that last year.
Very funny, Mike Ryan. Don't you have some University of Miami coaching news to report?
I actually do. I may need to go.
Billy, I'm sorry.
What kind of coach already? What else is there to this story?
Billy, I'm sorry. I interrupted you. What were you saying?
Nah, it doesn't matter. Oklahoma State, did you guys feel bad? Because you felt bad for the Ravens not getting in.
Oh, my God. The end of the Oklahoma State game was the goal line. The red zone offense on Oklahoma State was brutal on Saturday. I didn't feel bad, though, because I was rooting for them to lose. But they were like 5 inches short of winning.
Still being within a hair's breadth of the playoff.
The Big 12 championship.
You almost snuck in. To the playoffs.
Yeah, Notre Dame almost did it, Jess.
They did. Yeah.
What does that character sound like if they had? No, I'm not going to put you on this one.
It's the same character, let's be honest. My Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Wow. A muffled laughter.
A visual joke. Yes, this is
I spilled vodka on my mouth.
Yeah. Well, this is a football post game. We're not beholden to the NFL. There was a college football playoff rankings. I saw a little bit where ESPN discussed my reports without giving me any credit. But we have Alabama and Cincinnati. That stinks for Cincinnati. And we have a great semifinal between Michigan and Georgia. Double or nothing on Georgia, Alabama in the national title game, guys, please.
It feels like that's inevitable. So I don't get to decide what happens with the bet, but
the point spreads out. I feel like Bama and Georgia would probably both be double digit favorites if I had to guess.
I'll sell points.
I don't think Georgia will be a double digit favorite against Michigan. You?
I'll sell points. I'll do whatever is necessary to get out of this because I've seen all the mock-ups with me with a bald head and I'm not a fan. This is going to be very bad for me. And this was always the big problem with this bet. Sugats really operates as a man that has nothing to lose. And you can't go into a bet with that, man. You just can't.
Well, I just love the way that he always wins in that he took the bold, bold stance of believing in Alabama. Like
I mean, right there. Why didn't I see it?
Alabama. And there aren't a lot of teams that can say this throughout history. Maybe Notre Dame back in the 40s, USC for a while, or Miami. But Alabama's best has been better than anyone else's best for damn near 15 years. Like it feels
Outside of Clemson.
I think Alabama's best. I'm not saying they can't lose, but whatever, you know what never happens? What you just saw to Alabama. That never happens to Alabama. They do that to Georgia, but if Alabama's going to lose, they're going to lose some sort of close game, or maybe every once in a while some sort of running quarterback will get them. But for 15 years, their best is better than everyone else's best.
And it's so annoying when you, at least in the past, always had the ability to doubt their quarterback. And maybe you could have off of the performance
against
Auburn.
He was so good.
Unbelievable in that game, because Georgia was doing the thing where they were getting pressure, and 5, 6, 7 times he's sidestepping the pressure to hit receivers in the flat. At one point he became a rugby player and flipped it out behind him, out to the sideline for a big gain. Now, I saw that, is it Mechie, their receiver? They lost him to a torn ACL. He's not going to be able to play in the playoff.
He's so good.
It's massive for them. But, man, Young made so many big plays time after time.
Alabama just is, they're always going to have a good game plan. Like, they played up tempo. They caught Georgia off guard a lot. Like, Georgia couldn't bring in their subs. Georgia's supposed to have all this depth on defense. If you can't sub them in and out, then like they're going to get gassed. And Alabama just kept them on the field the whole time. And then they have, like, you know, Jameson Williams, who's faster than every single person on the field, who he was out for the Auburn game because he got called on targeting while he was on the punt return on special teams. Yeah. Like, ridiculous. I don't know if, like, Alabama, if that outcome's different if he doesn't get out with targeting, but you have to admit he's probably one of their fastest players on their team. And he's not even like one of Saban's recruits. Like, I think he transferred from Ohio State, which just makes it even more disgusting that now Nick Saban has the transfer portal at his disposal.
Mike, fair enough. Clemson and also the Orgeron LSU team are the two teams over the last decade that you say, okay, maybe at their best they can do that to Alabama. But the idea that Alabama's athletes like would be a 6.5-point underdog in that game. In retrospect, did we just go through a week where Aaron Rodgers was getting points at home and Alabama was getting points?
Well, look, I found it absolutely stunning that Alabama was able to move the ball the way that they did on what I called entering that game, and what was backed by fact, statistical
Mike,
fact.
They gave up half as many points in that game as they have all season.
It was wild. Bryce Young deservedly won the Heisman with that performance, and doing that on that stage for their playoff lives against what was, prior to that, the best college football defense ever. And when I made that bet with Sue Gatz for the loser would have to shave his head, all the Georgia fans got in my mentions saying, what are you doing? And maybe there is something to having to slay the boogeyman. They just can't get past Alabama. Or maybe it's just that Georgia can't get out of its own way. But it's a thing with them. We're not going to believe in them until they do it. I'm going to certainly have a much harder time doing it. Not so much because of that sigma, but just because of how easily Alabama handled them. That was a stunner.
Roy, I think Stu Gatz is tweeting from your Twitter account right now.
Yes,
he is. Roy Bellamy just tweeted, once again, got to give my man Stu Gatz credit. I didn't hear anyone else say the Steelers would beat the Ravens leading up to today's game. He did on God Bless Football. Great show.
That wasn't you.
Then he quote tweeted himself and said, wow, I appreciate all the love today, Bells. He's having a conversation with himself.
I thought that was Roy.
No, it's not me.
I was stunned. I really thought that after Stu Gatz didn't take a victory tour on Alabama on Saturday night, that Roy Belly was going to have nothing on it for a week. And fair play, he found the password in time to start talking to himself.
He didn't need to gloat. Our listeners were more than ready for the challenge in my mentions. And again, I would like to formally throw myself at the mercy of our listening audience and this show to give me an avenue out of this, because I am swearing to you on all that is holy, I do not want to do this. I didn't think this was a possibility. I didn't want to concede the points. I got caught up. I'm just a red-blooded American man that got filled with machismo at the wrong time, and I made a very stupid decision. Please, please, please. Get me out of this bet.
You think the internet can be trusted to be not cruel?
Please.
You think the internet
I don't want to do it.
You think the internet is going to be like, it's okay, Mike.
I've seen your theories. I do not have a hair transplant procedure scheduled. This is not like in wrestling where they take advantage of the guy with the receding hairline to make it a hair versus hair match. I've been taking collagen supplements and they have been working. My hair is on a comeback trail. I have subscribed to Keeps. I am doing all the little things I need to do to make sure what I believe is my physical prime can be extended. And the second you take away my hair, all of that is gone for me. No. Please don't. I beg you. I will do almost anything.
You brought it up.
I don't want you to do it either, though. I don't want to sit next to that haircut.
Join the club, Mike.
I've made my case. Just please.
You think our audience will be merciful? That's a thing please. That you believe is possible. You believe, like, if we threw this out to a vote to the internet, they'd be, you know what?
That seems terrible. This Stu Gatz, you made the bet with him, not the audience.
Yeah, well, maybe that's the play. I can tug on his heartstrings.
You made him do the same haircut before. I don't think it's going to work out.
You think he has a heart?
I have to be honest. I thought to myself over the weekend to throw myself in front of this train and take the baldness for Mike. But I also sought some consult for some friends. And like, no, you've already tested the physics of hair regrowth once. Why are you going to do it
don't
again?
Tell me that. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me that.
No, right I'm now. Saying maybe you can do it once. I don't know. Yeah. Do you think if I did it a second time, it would go as well?
I'm not.
Would the hair grow back?
Don't. You're getting in my own head. Just please. I know it's hard for the internet to speak in one unified voice. So maybe we can pose some options. But please.
None of you believe in Michigan. Nobody here believes in Michigan.
No.
I do.
No.
I do.
I think they're pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Wait, the state or the football team?
Second best team in the country, some say.
Oh, definitely the football team, not the state.
They're supposed to run the ball against Georgia?
I do love what happened, though. Michigan wins by 40 points. They're number two. And Alabama just jumps right over them. Just so they win by 40 as the number two. The number one loses and they don't move.
Jess, I think there's a theory to this. And this is a credit. This is why everyone tells the group of five, schedule those big power players. Doesn't matter on the road because they called the bluff of the college football playoff team. If there was any other scenario, if Cincinnati had won on the road at Ole Miss, right? Notre Dame would be in the college football playoff. They absolutely would. So what is the reward for finally opening the forbidden door and letting a non-Power 5 team in the playoff? You're getting Alabama. And we're all going to extrapolate this and hold it against you.
The chant is we want Bama. And so a fan base is getting what they want. I'm certain at Nippert Stadium in Cincinnati, there was a group of fans chanting, we won Bama. And this is what every college football fan dreams of. Yeah, so what? They get shellacked. You'll have some fun doing it. Get to talk yourself into it for 3 weeks.
Everyone will just destroy you for the next, 3 years.
Okay, Jess.
Maybe longer. Like, I've been there as a football fan. Like, okay, it's not you just brush it off. It's, embarrassing for a while. And then you support
Notre
Dame. You say, you know what? We covered. The spread was 17, and we covered it. You can't hurt me anymore.
What if they win?
Then it's that's
what if
great story if they win.
It's a great thing about sports. And look, this is as dominant as they looked, and as much as they have made me follically challenge here, possibly, this wasn't one of the more impressive Alabama teams we've ever seen. They went down to the wire against
Auburn.
They almost lost to Auburn. They almost lost to Florida,
Texas,
Cincinnati,
A&M, Arkansas.
Jess chronicled it on Fullcast After Dark. They played like 8 good games this year, which is completely uncharacteristic.
Yeah, so Cincinnati can do it. Look, I know it's last year, and that's a totally different circumstance, but Cincinnati should have won that bowl game against Georgia. This is why we watch sports, that Cinderella matchup, that big underdog story. So bring it on, but I do kind of think that this is, if this goes poorly for Cincinnati, as long as the college football playoff structure stays what it is, it's going to be held against the next time a Cincinnati comes on the radar.
Yeah, 100%. But like the way it shook out this year, like you said, is like the next team in lost to Cincinnati, so you couldn't leapfrog them. And Cincinnati ended up being the only undefeated conference champion that, you know, had a good win on the resume against a top 10 team on the road. But I mean, like, there's like part of me that's like, the like underdog story, like Cincinnati upsetting the Giants, that would be great. I hope they win. It'll be awesome to see a group of five team win the championship. And then like the really petty side of me that's like, I hope they lose by 50. That would be so funny. No one
Which one is it? You can't root for both those things. Like, which one do you want?
Are you asking if my petty side is winning against my nice side? Please.
Let me talk to the Steeler fan over there. Who's character? I mean, it's terrible. It's just a terrible character.
I love it.
That only has one move in it. But you, Jessica, took the news, the reported news that Ben Roethlisberger's told teammates he's retiring. This is his last season. How?
No, he didn't say he's retiring. He said that this is his last season playing quarterback for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And he'll come back as a tight end.
There you go.
Keep in mind, he played wide receiver in college. Very famously.
I think my favorite thing this season in the entire sport is seeing Ben Roethlisberger try to run.
No.
who mentioned it on our show that he's always just on his face? Ben Roethlisberger is just perpetually on his face. It's unreal. It's so true.
The Steelers don't need Ben Roethlisberger down. We can make a trade. We can draft someone in the draft. We'll have a top 15 pick, potentially.
You know what? I'm so done with...
Oh.
Wow.
What's a bear cat, by the way?
I think it's a bear.
No,
it's not a bear. No, it's not. I looked it up.
I think
I know the answer.
It's like a Wolverine-ish type
thing, It has a bear claw, right?
Is it in the bobcat family?
You should ask Ron McGill.
In a bobcat fan? No.
I think it's closer to a wolverine.
It's close. It's not a cat.
Thing's hideous.
Yeah, it's an ugly mascot.
Oh, ew. The Cincinnati logo makes it so much more intimidating.
That's because it's a C. That's why it's a big old C with a...
Is that not a wolverine? That's not what a wolverine is?
I don't know
is?
What that thing is. Ooh.
Is that a honey badger?
It's a...
It might be closer to a badger.
It's a bear cat.
Yeah.
It's native to South and Southeast Asia, which then begs the question. Why is it the mascot of a team in Cincinnati?
Is there maybe one in the Cincinnati Zoo?
There is, actually.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
But is there only one animal in the Cincinnati Zoo?
I prefer the scenario where like the Cincinnati athletic director in the 1930s like opens up an encyclopedia and goes through every animal in there to try and find the perfect animal to be the Cincinnati football logo.
It's a cool name. I'm kind of upset you ruined the illusion for me. Thought it was like a bear cat hybrid.
Ooh, happy hippo days at the Cincinnati Zoo.
Oh, nice.
Oh, here we go. The bear cat became the mascot in 1914 in a football game against the Kentucky Wildcats. The key players in the birth of the bear cat were a star Cincinnati player named Bear, a creative cheerleader and talented cartoonist. Okay.
Wait, so they had a cheerleader named Bear that
And then he created a chant, and then it said, there may be wildcats, but we have a bear cat on our side. Ah, so it's like a play on words with someone's last name, and then it just became a bear cat. So,
right.
Interesting.
The more you know. Still going to get tonked by Alabama, I would think.
I think they have a chance.
What is?
That's all you're hoping for. A chance. And look, I don't know jack shit about college football, as my hair can attest. So, on that note, we'll see you tomorrow.
All right, everybody, Mother's Day is officially around the corner. If mom's gift isn't already on the way, you've got hours, maybe even minutes, to get it together. So head over to 1-800-Flowers.com right this second. 1-800-Flowers still has great last-minute deals on handmade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts ordered easily and delivered fresh. You want to get mom something that shows your appreciation for all that she's done? We know you've been a knucklehead. She knows you've been a knucklehead. Please do better. Help your mom feel appreciated this Mother's Day. This is your last chance to lock in these Mother's Day deals. Only good while supplies last. Order today at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan, D-A-N. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Hey, listeners, it's Mike Ryan, and I've changed a lot over the course of 20 years that you've known me. I've gone from unlikable to, well, my hair has changed. But my point is, while a lot's changed over our relationship, there's one thing that hasn't changed one bit. And that's a great taste of Miller Lite. Another thing that hasn't changed is that it's less filling. So what's the best thing about the original light beer? Miller Lite has sparked this debate way back in 1975, and we still haven't settled it. They keep it simple. It's got undebatable quality, great taste, 96 calories, you know all those things. It's a beer that strips everything away that you don't need and holds on to what matters most. But with Miller Lite, you don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. It's both those things. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.